Welcome to part 4 of The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein, a radio adaptation of this year's One Book, One Denver selection produced by students and faculty of the University of Colorado Denver College of Arts and Media. We'll resume our regular airing of the BBC tomorrow. To catch up, the main character of the story is Enzo, a rather philosophical and television-loving dog who lives in Seattle with Denny, a sometime Formula One race car driver and driving school instructor. After Denny's wife, Eve, died from cancer, her parents sued for custody of his daughter, Zoe. The case has been complicated by a past incident and misunderstanding involving an underaged friend of the family. And now, the conclusion of The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Oh, a breath of September. The vacations were done. The lawyers were back at work. The truth would be had. Denny left that morning wearing the only suit he owned. He looked very good.
Mike will come by at lunch and take you for a walk. I don't know how long this will go.
Later that afternoon, Denny returned. He smiled down at me.
Do I need to reintroduce you two?
And behind him was Zoe. I leapt in the air. I knew Denny would vanquish the evil twins. It was an amazing afternoon. We played in the yard and laughed and cuddled and had dinner together for the first time in a long time.
I can't have my room back.
I'm afraid not yet.
Why not? I want to come home.
Zoe, someone has accused me of doing something very bad.
Just tell them.
Someone said I did something very bad, and even though I know I didn't do it, now I have to go to court and prove to everyone that I didn't do it.
Zoe thought about it for a moment.
Was it Grandma and Grandpa?
I was very impressed with the laser-like accuracy of her inquiry.
No. No, it wasn't them. But they know about it.
Later in the evening, the doorbell rang. It was Mark Fine.
It's time.
And Mark Fine took Zoe away. She had just returned and she was going away again. It took me some time to fully grasp the situation.
This is not a conversation I'd like to have.
I've missed some invoices. Give me 30 days.
You be paid in full?
30 days. Things can change.
Very true. Things changed quickly. And, as if to prove it, Denny sold our house. We had no money left. They had sucked him dry. There was little else Denny could do. He rented a truck from U-Haul and called on his friends, and we moved. I loved our house. It was small, I know, but I had grown attached to my spot in the living room on the hardwood floor, which was very warm in the winter when the sun streamed in through the window. But that was no more. Still, I tried to make the best of it. Denny paid his account with Mark Fine. We were off and running once again. But it was an especially difficult winter for me. Perhaps it was the stairs in our apartment and my genetic deficiency catching up with me, bad hips. Or maybe I was just tired of being a dog. Denny often allowed me to walk home from the park without my leash, and one night I strayed too far from him. I was watching the snowflakes fall and gather in a thin layer on the sidewalk and on the street.
Yo, Enzo!
I looked up. He was on the other side of the street. He must have crossed without my noticing.
Come here, boy!
I bounded toward him into the street.
No! Wait!
The tires did not scream. The tires hushed. They shushed. And then the car hit me.
I didn't see him!
I know! Settle down, boy.
Denny's hands were on me, warm.
He just shot out. I didn't see.
I totally understand. I saw the whole thing.
I've never hit a dog before.
You just clipped him. You tried to stop. The street is snowy.
What can I do?
I'm several blocks from home. He's too heavy to carry. Will you drive me?
Sure. I'm totally freaking.
He's more scared than he is anything else. Get in your car.
Yeah, said the girl. She was just a girl, a teenager.
Where should I go?
Everything's fine. Take a deep breath and let's drive.
Denny slid into the back seat with me on his lap. I am so stupid, I thought. I am the stupidest dog on the planet, and I have the audacity to dream of becoming a man? I am stupid.
Thank you.
Separate entrances for cats and dogs. That's what I remember the most. I remember the doctor painfully manipulating my hips. Then he gave me a shot and I was very much asleep. When I awoke, I was still groggy but no longer in pain. Denny handed the assistant a credit card. He kneeled down and stroked my head.
You'll be all right, Enzo. You cracked your pelvis, but it will heal. You'll just take it easy for a while, and then you'll be good as new.
Mr. Swift?
Denny stood and returned to the counter.
Your card has been declined.
Denny stiffened.
That's not possible.
Do you have another card?
Here.
They both watched the blue machine that took the cards, and a few moments later, the assistant shook her head.
You've exceeded your limit.
Denny frowned and took out another card.
Here's my ATM card. It will work.
They waited again. Same result.
That's not right.
I could hear his breath quicken. His heart beat faster.
I just deposited my paycheck. Maybe it hasn't cleared yet.
Relax, Denny. I'm sure it's just a little misunderstanding.
Look, I have $300 from when I deposited my check. I took some of it out in cash. Here.
Denny fanned the bills in front of the doctor.
I'll write you a receipt for $300 and leave a note for Susan to run the card for the balance in the morning.
Could I keep 20 of it?
Denny was exhausted and shaken and embarrassed.
I need to put some gas in the car.
When we got home and Denny placed me on my bed, he sat in the dark room.
I can't keep going. They won, you see?
How could I respond? What could I say?
I can't even afford to take care of you. I've got nothing left, Enzo. There's nothing left.
Days later, a week, two, I don't know, after Denny's deflation, we sat in Mark's kitchen, Denny with a cup of tea and a manila folder before him.
It's the right decision, Den. I totally support you.
Denny didn't move, didn't speak, just stared dully at the folder.
This is your youth. This is your time. Principal is important, but so is your life.
Denny nodded.
Same visitation schedule, but with 2 weeks in the summer and 1 week over Christmas break.
Denny nodded.
And you don't have to pay for support anymore. They'll put her in a private school on Mercer Island, and they'll pay for her college education.
Denny nodded.
And they'll settle for a misdemeanor, harassment, and probation. No sex offense on your record.
Denny nodded.
Denny, you're a smart guy. One of the smartest I've ever met. This is a smart decision. You know that, right?
Denny looked confused for a moment, scanned the tabletop, checked his own hands.
I need a pen.
Mark reached behind him and picked up a pen. He handed it to Denny.
Well, at least I'm not broke.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough. Nice pen.
Denny held up the pen. It was one of those souvenir pens with the sliding thing in the plastic top with the liquid.
Woodland Park Zoo.
I looked closer. The top of the pen. A little plastic savanna. The sliding thing? A zebra. When Denny tipped the pen, the zebra slid across the plastic savanna. The zebra is everywhere. I suddenly realized, the zebra. It is not something outside of us. The zebra is something inside of us. Our fears, our own self-destructive nature. The zebra is the worst part of us when we are face to face with our worst times. The demon is us. Denny brought the tip of the pen to the paper, and I could see the zebra sliding forward, inching toward the signature line, and I knew it wasn't Denny who was signing. It was the zebra. I was an old dog, recently hit by a car, and I knew what I must do. And the next thing I knew, I was standing at the kitchen door with papers in my mouth, both Mark and Denny staring at me, completely stunned.
Enzo! Drop it!
I refused.
Enzo! Drop it now!
I shook my head.
Come here, boy!
Enzo, get the hell over here!
I slipped away. It was a low-speed chase, to be sure, but I held them off. I still had the papers when they cornered me in the living room. I was trapped, I know, but Denny taught me that the race isn't over until the checker flies. I looked around and noticed that one of the windows was open. It wasn't open much, and there was a screen on it, but it was open, and that was enough. Despite all of my pain, I lunged. With all of my might, I dove. I cleared the opening. I crashed into that screen and threw it, and suddenly I was on the porch. I scurried into the backyard. Mark and Denny flew out the back door, panting and yet not pursuing.
He dove.
Out the window!
Yes, I did. I dove.
If we had a videotape of that, we could win $10,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Give me the papers, Enzo.
I shook them vigorously in my mouth. Mark laughed.
It's not funny.
It's kind of funny.
Give me the papers!
I dropped the papers before me and pawed at them. I dug at them. I tried to bury them. Again, Mark laughed. Denny, however, was very angry. He glared at me.
Enzo, I'm warning you.
What could I do? Had I not made myself clear? Had I not communicated my message? What else was there for me to do? Gestures are all that I have. I lifted my hind leg and urinated on the papers. Both men fell to their knees and laughed until they could laugh no more.
Enzo, it's okay.
Call Lawrence. He'll print them again and you can sign them.
Denny stood.
No, I'm with Enzo. I piss on their settlement too. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm never giving up.
When we got home, Denny gave me a bath and toweled me off. And then we watched one of our old favorite racing tapes. We watched the race together without pause, side by side, Denny and me. The summer of my 10th birthday came along, and there was a sense of balance to our lives, though none of completeness. I tried my best to keep up with the pace of life, but my mobility was limited. Sometimes on his driving school days, Denny would take me with him to the track, and while I was never allowed to ride with him, I did enjoy sitting in the stands and watching him teach. On one day, I watched as a beautiful red Ferrari F430 drove up, and a small older man climbed out. Don Kitch, the owner of the driving school, came to meet him. They embraced and spoke for several minutes, and suddenly, the small man in the Ferrari was with us.
I need a favor. Do you remember Luca Pontoni, don't you?
Oh, of course.
We came to dinner at your place a couple of years ago. Your wife cooked a delightful dinner. I remember it still. Please, accept my sincere and heartfelt condolences.
When I heard him speak with his Italian accent, I recognized him immediately. The man from Ferrari.
Luca would like you to show him our track.
No problem.
Mr. Swift, perhaps you would do me the favor of allowing me to be the passenger so that I may see more.
The two men strapped in, and Denny pressed the electronic start button, and the car fired to life.
What's going on?
Denny's got an audition.
We all went out to the bleachers in time to see Denny come around turn 9 and streak down the straight.
I figure it will take him 3 laps to learn the sequential shifter.
Sure enough. Denny started slowly like he had driven with me back at Thunder Hill. Oh, how I wish I could have traded places with Luca, that lucky dog. Denny was driving easy, but as he came around for the 3rd time, there was a noticeable change to the car. It was no longer a car. It was a red blur. It no longer whined. It screamed as it shot down the straightaway.
How close to the edge is he?
He's way past the edge. I'm sure Luca told him to show what he could do, and that's what he's doing.
Lap after lap, around they went, until we were dizzy and exhausted from watching them. And then the car slowed considerably, a cool-down lap, and pulled off into the paddock.
Everyone, back into the classroom. We'll go over corner notes from your morning laps.
As they headed off, Don grabbed Denny's shoulder firmly.
What was it like?
Oh, it was incredible.
Good for you. You deserve it.
Don went off to teach his class. Luca approached and extended his hand. In it was a business card.
I would like you to work for me.
But you're with Ferrari.
Yes, I work in Marinello at Ferrari headquarters. We have a wonderful track there.
So you'd like me to work where?
Denny's eyes got extremely large. Was this guy saying what we thought he was saying?
In Italy?
Yes. You would be provided with an apartment for you and your daughter, and, of course, a company car. A Fiat as part of your compensation package.
To live in Italy and test drive Ferraris.
Si.
Why me? There are 1,000 guys who can drive this car.
Don tells me you are an exceptional driver in wet weather.
Well, I am. But that can't be the reason.
No, you are correct. But I would prefer to tell you more about the reasons when you join me in Marinello, and I can invite you to my house for dinner.
I appreciate your generous offer, but I'm afraid certain things prevent me from leaving the country, or even this state at the moment, so I have to decline.
I know about your troubles. That is why I am here.
Denny looked up, surprised.
I will keep the position available for you until your situation is resolved and you can make your decision free from the burden of circumstance. My telephone is on the card.
I wish you would tell me why.
Luca held up his finger.
Dinner at my home. You will understand.
Luca drove away, and Denny shook his head in bewilderment.
He's taken an interest in your career since he first met you. Whenever we talk, he asks how you're doing.
Why does he care so much?
He wants to tell you himself. All I can say is that he respects how you're fighting for your daughter.
Denny thought for a moment.
But what if I don't win?
There is no dishonor in losing the race. There is only dishonor in not racing because you are afraid to lose.
That evening, it was around 10, I knew because the amazing race had just finished. Denny took me out. The night was bracing. We walked down Pine Street, and I saw some people smoking outside the Cha-Cha Lounge. And suddenly, there she was. Both of us stopped. We held our breaths. Two young women at an outdoor table having coffee, and one of them is Annika. Temptress, seducer, vixen. I thought we would cross the street to avoid a confrontation, but instead, we headed straight for her.
Oh. Hey, Annika.
Denny. Good to see you.
Can we talk for a minute?
Annika's friends started to get up.
I'll get more coffee.
No, it's important that you witness that there's no impropriety taken here. If you leave, I'll have to leave.
The girl looked to Annika, who nodded in agreement.
Annika?
Denny?
I totally understand what's going on. I may have given you signals. That's totally my fault. But just because the light is green doesn't mean you shouldn't look both ways before stepping into the street.
Annika thought on this.
I should have handled this situation entirely differently. You did nothing wrong. You're an attractive woman, and I understand that my noting that attractiveness, even to myself, may have signaled to you that I was available. But you know I wasn't available. I was married to Eve.
Annika dipped her head at the mention of Eve.
But Annika, while I understand how angry you must be, I wonder if you understand what's going on, what the fallout is. They won't let me have my daughter. Do you realize that? Did they tell you about that?
They said...
Annika, when I saw Eve for the first time, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk. My entire world revolved around her. You're a wonderful woman, and I know that you will find the right partner, and you will be very happy the rest of your life.
She looked up at him, and her eyes were so big.
Zoe's my daughter. I love her like your father loves you. Please, Annika, don't take her away from me.
Annika didn't look up from her coffee, but I glanced at her friend. Tears hung in her eyes. We paused for a moment. And then we turned and walked away briskly. Denny's gait seemed lighter than it had been for years.
I think she heard me.
I thought so too, but how could I respond? I barked twice. Denny looked at me and laughed.
Faster?
I barked twice again.
Faster then, let's go!
And we trotted the rest of the way home. The bailiff called out. Such old-fashioned formality in such a contemporary setting. The new Seattle courthouse. Glass walls and metal beams jutting out at all angles. Concrete floors and stairs with rubber treads, and all of it lit by a strange bluish light.
The Honorable Judge Van Tegum.
An elderly man, clad in a black robe, strode into the room. He was short and wide, and he had a wave of gray hair swept to one side of his head. His dark, bushy eyebrows hung over his small eyes like hairy caterpillars. He spoke to the court.
Sit! Let us begin!
I lay down and promptly fell asleep, having the strangest dream.
Enzo, you were present for the alleged molestation?
I was, Your Honor, I said.
Tell us in your own words what you witnessed that night.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I assure you that my master, Dennis Swift, in no way acted inappropriately around this young lady, Annika. It was clear to me that she loved him more than anything in the world, and she offered herself to him. He declined that offer. After driving us over a harrowing mountain pass, after exhausting himself, draining himself of all physical energy in order to deliver us safely home, Denny is guilty only of falling asleep. Annika, this girl, this woman, as unaware of the ramifications of her actions as she might have been, assaulted my Denny.
Oh my gosh. She did that.
Miss Annika, is this true?
It is true.
Do you disavow these accusations?
I do. I'm so sorry for the pain I've put you all through. I disavow.
She disavows!
This is a stunning revelation. Enzo, the dog, has spoken. The truth is known. This case is dismissed. Mr. Swift is free to go, and he is awarded custody of his daughter.
I felt someone shaking me.
Enzo? Wake up. It's over.
My master's voice. I opened my eyes.
That recess was the longest 45 minutes of my life.
I waited for his answer.
She recanted. They dropped the charges. Let's go home.
The dawn breaks gently on the horizon and spills its light over the land. My life seems like it has been so long and so short at the same time. I hear the door open, and I hear Denny with his familiar cry.
Yo, Enzo.
I hear the footsteps, the concern in his voice. He finds me and looks down.
Oh, Enz, what happened, kid?
Gestures can't explain.
Take it easy, kid. I've got you.
In the past few days, everything has changed. He is going to be reunited with Zoe. I would like to see that moment. They are going to Italy together. They will live in an apartment in a small town, and they will drive a Fiat. Denny will be a wonderful driver for Ferrari. I can see him doing it all. I don't want Denny to worry about me. I don't want to force him to take me on a one-way visit to the vet. He loves me so much. The worst thing I could possibly do to Denny is make him hurt me.
You're okay.
He cradles my head in his lap. I see him.
You're okay, kiddo.
He places his hand over my heart. The beating that he feels, if he feels anything, is not strong.
Take it easy, Enzo.
Sometimes we simply have to believe. I believe. I am ready. And yet, Denny is so sad. He will miss me so much.
You've always been with me. You've always been my Enzo.
Yes, I have. He's correct.
It's okay,
he says to me.
If you need to go now, you can go.
I turn my head, and there before me is my life, my childhood, my world, all around the fields of Spangle where I was born, the rolling hills covered with the golden grasses that sway in the wind and tickle my stomach when I move over them, the sky so perfectly blue and the sun so round. This is what I would like, to play in those fields for a little longer. To spend a little more time being me before I become someone else.
The first time I saw you, I knew we belonged together.
Yes, me too.
It's okay.
I saw a film once, a documentary about dogs in Mongolia. It is said that after dogs die, they return as men. But there was something else.
It's okay, boy.
He says softly, gently into my ear. I remember. This documentary said that after a dog dies, his soul is released into the world around us. His soul is released to run in the world, run through the fields, enjoy the earth, the wind, the rivers, the rain, the sun. His soul is released to run until he is ready to be reborn. I remember.
It's okay.
When I am reborn as a man, I will find Denny. I will find Zoe. I will walk up to them and shake their hands and tell them that Enzo says hello. They will see.
You can go.
Before me, I see my world. There are no fences, no buildings, no people. There is only me and the grass and the sky and the earth. Only me.
I love you, boy.
I take a few steps into the field, and it feels so good, so nice to be in the cool air.
You can go.
I gather up my strength, and I start off, and it feels good. Like I have no age at all. I am timeless. I pick up speed. I run.
It's okay, Enzo.
I don't look back, but I know he's there. I bark twice because I want him to hear. I want him to know. I feel his eyes on me, but I don't turn back. Off into the field, into the vastness of the universe ahead, I run.
You can go.
he calls to me. Faster, the wind presses against my face as I run, faster. I feel my heart beating wildly, and I bark twice to tell him. I bark twice so he knows, so he remembers. One more lap, Denny. One more lap. Faster. What I want now is what I have always wanted.
After it is all over, after the last race has been won, after the season's champion has been crowned, he sits alone in the infield of the Tamburello racetrack, on the grass that is soggy from many days of rain. To have accomplished what he has accomplished, to have endured what he has endured, to have become a Formula One champion out of nowhere, it is nothing less than a fairy tale. An electric golf cart stops on the tarmac near him. Three figures sit in the cart. A young woman, the driver, gets out and walks towards the champion.
Dad!
He looks to her though he had hoped to be alone just a little longer.
They're big fans.
He smiles and rolls his eyes. The idea that he has fans at all is very silly to him, and something he has to get used to.
No.
She says because she knows his thoughts almost before he can think them.
I think you'd really like to meet them.
He nods at her because she is always right. She beckons two people from the cart. A man steps out, then a child. They walk toward the champion.
Denny!
He does not recognize them. He does not know them.
Denny, we are your biggest fans. Your daughter brought us to find you. She said you would not mind.
She knows me.
My son, he worships you. He talks about you always.
The champion looks at the boy, who is small with sharp features and icy blue eyes and light curly hair.
Do you race?
He races carts. Oh, he is very good. The first time he sat in a cart, he knew how to drive it. It is very expensive for me, but he is so good, such a talent that we do it. Will you sign our program? We watched the race from the field over there. The grandstand is very expensive. We drove from Napoli.
Of course.
The champion takes the program and picks up a pen.
What is your name?
Enzo.
Stunned, the champion stares at the boy.
He says he wants to be a champion like you.
The champion continues staring at the boy until he realizes he's been staring too long and shakes his head to stop himself.
Your son reminds me of a good friend of mine.
He catches his daughter's eye, and then he signs the boy's program and hands it to the father, who reads it.
What is this?
My telephone number in Maranello. When you think your son is ready, call me. I'll make sure he gets proper instruction and the opportunity to drive.
Grazie, grazie. Oh, he talks about you always. He says you are the best champion ever.
The champion rises, his racing suit still wet from the rain. He pats the boy's head and ruffles his hair. The boy looks up at him.
He is a race car driver at heart.
Grazie. He studies all of your races on videotapes.
The car goes where the eyes go.
The champion laughs, then looks to the sky.
See, the car goes where the eyes go. It is true, my young friend. It is very, very true.
That was the conclusion of the University of Colorado Denver College of Arts and Media's production of Garth Stein's The Art of Racing in the Rain. This radio special of the One Book, One Denver selection was adapted and directed by Terry Dodd and recorded by Lauren Brigitzer. Stu Basham is a sound designer. Enzo was played by Alex Evert. Denny was played by J. Nick Dickert. Zoe was played by Demi De Herrera. And the ensemble was played by Craig Ewing, Linda McQuaid, Emily Lay, and Jesse Carruth. One Book, One Denver is coordinated by Arts and Venues Denver. You can find a link to more information about One Book, One Denver and hear all the episodes of the series by going to our website at cpr.org and typing Racing in the Rain in the search bar. Our normal broadcast of the BBC will resume tomorrow. This is Colorado Public Radio.